This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
This week on Witness History, the smart speaker Alexa is used by hundreds of millions of people around the world. But did you know its voice was created by two students in Poland? After watching old sci-fi movies, Łukasz and Michał decided they could create a device which sounded less robotic and more like a human. After spending years developing their own technology, they started winning awards, and big companies like Amazon took notice. Search and subscribe to Witness History wherever you get your podcasts.
From the BBC World Service, this is The Documentary. I'm Georgia Walker. One of the first things I noticed since moving to Palermo in Sicily 2 years ago was the sound of dogs barking. From lone howls in the distance to fitful bursts of conversation in the night, or waves that travel through the city like dominoes, a message being passed along. At night, I'd find myself asking, where are all these dogs? What are they talking about? And why is no one telling them to be quiet? I also started noticing lone dogs around the city, hanging around outside bars, napping on street corners, waiting at traffic lights to cross the road. The first time I followed a dog, it was the beginning of summer, and the air smelt like jasmine and hot trash from the street corner. He walked past me at a pace, his head down, a black shadow loping through the alleyways of Palermo. Without thinking, I went after him. At a couple of points, I almost lost him, and then spotted him at the entrance of a Baroque Catholic church. He hobbled inside, faint piano spilling out onto the street. And I went home, wondering what I'd just seen. Not long after, I saw another dog below my balcony, and then I saw him again on the corner where they sell soft drinks, and again heading north toward the university. I asked my neighbours about this dog, and they told me he had a name, Rocky. I also found out that Rocky doesn't have an owner, but isn't technically a stray. In Palermo, and all over the south of Italy, there are various types of free dog. There are the unsocialised packs, dogs that live together in family groups on the edge of villages, rarely coming into contact with humans. There are the Maremmano sheepdogs that wander the countryside, workers that roam free. Then there are dogs like Rocky, the cani di quartiere, dogs of the neighborhood. These dogs are known by everyone in their districts, but owned by no one. Cani di quartiere frequent the same bars to hang out with friends, the same butchers to get their scraps. They sprawl out for naps in the winter sun in the middle of the pavement and seek shade under vans in the heat of summer. They play with the neighborhood kids, roll over onto their backs for belly scratches, and wind through market streets with other dogs like them. These dogs captured my imagination. They seem different to the pet dogs I know. They have a confidence and an attitude in the way that they amble past people on their way through the city. They're not looking for food or affection or even acknowledgement. These dogs disturb the notion that the city is ours, a sterilized space ruled by humans. In the Anthropocene, in which humans dominate and are devastating the planet, they might show how it's possible to live with other species in a relationship of reciprocity and respect, rather than ownership and domination. I spent this past summer following some of the neighborhood dogs. There's Pluto and Stella, perched at the entrance of a palazzo in Villaggio Santa Rosalia. There's Lucio, a big blonde beauty who sprawls out on the pavement outside the betting shop in the afternoon. Late at night, I catch him slinking past me in bars, on his way to who knows where. There's Margarita, who became a neighborhood dog when her owner died during the COVID-19 pandemic. And then there's Baloo, an old brindle with orange eyes who can usually be found hanging out with the locals at Barkoga. He's the last of a group of four dogs, known as the Villaggini, who lived in Villaggio Santa Rosalia as a family for well over a decade. When Baloo's brother Matisse died of a tumour 2 years ago, the whole neighbourhood stepped in to accompany him to the end, hand-feeding him, providing him with blankets and pillows. When he passed away, Baloo was left as the last dog standing. One of Baloo's best friends is Giuseppe Guarino, who works at the local cemetery and gives him baths to cool down in the afternoon heat of July. Giuseppe told me that Baloo had chosen him as a friend after Matisse died. He'd started following Giuseppe when he went to work at 5 a.m. or when he went to buy cigarettes in the afternoon. Giuseppe goes to the tobacconist, while Baloo finds a place to do his business, and then hangs around at the entrance of the butcher's next door, waiting for scraps. And then they both head to the bar, Giuseppe with his cigarettes, Baloo with his bone. Giuseppe insists that he doesn't have any feeling of ownership over Baloo. It's a friendship. They hang out, and they go their separate ways. Melina and Bianchina live down at the port, amidst the shipping containers and the coming and going of freight ships and sailing boats. Bianchina is part Marimano sheepdog, with thick white fur that parts in tufts to reveal black skin underneath. Ferdinando Manetta, who volunteers to monitor the neighbourhood dogs around Palermo, brings his brushes down to the port to give Bianchina a thorough grooming, and she lies on her back in the sun. She's 8 years old and spends her time with the other old bitch of the port, Melina. Everyone tells me they're sisters, although they look nothing alike, and I'm not sure whether they're related by blood or by circumstance. Melina is 14 and has lived at the port almost her whole life. Their main friend is Maurizio Mancino, a dock worker with bright blue eyes and a no-nonsense demeanour. Signor Mancino gave Melina the run of the place after she was abandoned at the port when she was a month old. She's been wreaking havoc and causing mischief ever since. Bianchina arrived seemingly out of nowhere. Mancino noticed she was overweight, but didn't think much of it until she gave birth to 9 puppies in a little garden area of the harbour.
Bianchina per portarla al canile perché la dovevano fare sterilizzare.
Mancino called the dog shelter, and they took Bianchina to get sterilized and the puppies to get adopted.
E poi me l'hanno riportata qua e ce l'ho in affidamento io.
And then they brought her back here, and now I have a remake here. They gave me the paperwork stating that I am the caretaker of the dogs, not the owner, but the caretaker. But they belong to the municipality, both of them, and they are microchipped. They are the only two dogs that remain in the port area. There isn't a single one left, and if anyone touches them, there'll be trouble.
Non ce n'è più neanche uno, sono rimasti tutti e due. E guai chi le tocca.
There used to be many free dogs in the area, but even Bianchina and Melina's future is uncertain. The area of the port where they live is being shut down and developed into hotels for tourists. Then, there's one of the first dogs I met, Rocky, a 3-year-old hunting dog the colour of apricot, with ears too big for his head. Rocky was abandoned at the bus stop below my old flat when he was a few months old. He was picked up by Antonino Licausi, who has a shop selling soft drinks on the corner. He gave him food and let him hang around, and gradually, Rocky became accustomed to this part of town, familiarizing himself with other neighborhood dogs nearby, the kids of the neighborhood who consider him one of the gang, and the local monitor of the neighborhood dogs and cats, Linda Tumbarello, who is small and spirited and one of Rocky's closest pals.
Ah, bravo.
Rocky and I have become friends too. On Sunday afternoons, we take rides around in my car, listening to Neapolitan music, because everyone tells me that's his favorite.
Rocky la piace la musica napoletana, ma io non so cos'è la musica napoletana.
There's something that feels transgressive about going for a drive with a free dog. Am I allowed? Am I responsible? One look over at Rocky, thoroughly blissed out with his eyes closed and saliva pooling on the passenger seat, and it's clear that he's responsible for himself and that we're just two mates taking a drive on a Sunday afternoon.
Siamo a casa, Rocky.
Occasionally, he'll see other friends and make it clear that he wants me to stop the car and let him out. So I do.
Ciao, buona serata, buona domenica.
And he takes me for walks around new areas and introduces me to new people. Rocky chose the neighborhood as his stomping grounds, and eventually his citizenship became official. Dogs usually meet certain criteria to become fully fledged Canidi Quartiere. They're vaccinated, sterilized, and microchipped, socialized and balanced within their neighborhoods, and cared for and monitored by the community. Rocky fit all of these criteria, and like other neighborhood dogs, he now has a medallion around his neck showing his status. It reads, Rocky, Cane di Quartiere, Zona Policlinico.
Ti muovere tu. Non sto chiamando.
Giorgia Matesi is the main monitor of the city's Cani di Quartiere. She's also an educator and the head of LAV Palermo, an Italian non-profit dedicated to animal rights and welfare. People call her from all over the city when they see a street dog they don't recognize or when a dog needs medical attention. She also makes sure they're getting along well in their neighborhoods.
Cerchiamo di capire il rapporto che hanno.
We try to understand the relationship they have with residents, as well their habits. So we observe them, and when they are unwell or encounter problems, we intervene as needed. We care for them in a way that allows them to remain as much as possible in their own environment, which for them is home.
Per loro è casa.
Giorgia does this all as a volunteer and coaches other volunteers who monitor dogs in various neighborhoods around the city. When a dog first arrives in a neighborhood, usually through abandonment, she steps in to help.
All'inizio, quando arriva un cane di quartiere, la prima reazione è.
At first, when a neighbor dog arrives, the initial reaction is fear. So often there are people who threaten to call the police to have the dog confined to a kennel. But I've always chosen to observe them and to ask people to take the time to get to know them.
E di chiedere alle persone il tempo di conoscerli.
She observes how the children of the neighborhood change through their interactions with their canine neighbors.
Per me i cani di quartiere sono un ponte tra noi umani e gli altri animali.
To me, neighbor dogs are a bridge between us humans and other animals, as well as with our own animality. I see that children who grow up in neighbors where there are dogs are children who have less fear and who also have more respect towards the otherness of animals. Do you know how many times I've seen children hug them right before going to school, or children who feel a bit lonely and tell them stories? When I see them in the afternoon sitting next to the dogs, for me this truly represents the sense of coexistence, of sharing, of living together with another animal that is different from us. Recognizing the diversity, but also seeing the connection.
All'altro animale che è diverso da noi, quindi riconoscendo la diversità, ma vedendo la connessione anche.
Giorgia tells me that the number of cani di quartiere in the city has been declining rapidly. As Palermo has changed dramatically, so has the situation for these dogs.
Però poi col turismo.
But then with tourism, I have to say that in some areas, dogs can no longer be found. For example, in the city center, there are almost none left. These dogs are almost all sterilized. And this on one hand it's okay because it's the right thing to do, but on the other, it's a heritage of animality that we are losing. And the sense that now there are only few left.
Stiamo perdendo, nel senso adesso sono rimasti in pochi.
If we lose these dogs, Georgia says that we're losing a thread connecting us to the natural world.
I cani riescono a riportarci nel qui e ora, nel contesto, nell'ambiente.
Dogs are able to bring us back to the here and now, to the context, to the environment, to that place. They bring us back there. They lead us to the greater awareness, in my opinion, even of the place where we live. And beyond that, by observing them, we realize that there is a social world that could be a great inspiration for us. The value of their bonds. We have seen this especially in death, and how they handle the death of their siblings, the death of their companions, the mourning, the absence, the loss, the cries in chorus. They are behind human control.
Le assenze, le mancanze, le ululate in coro sono fuori dal controllo umano.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
This week on Witness History, the smart speaker Alexa is used by hundreds of millions of people around the world. But did you know its voice was created by two students in Poland? After watching old sci-fi movies, Łukasz and Michał decided they could create a device which sounded less robotic and more like a human. After spending years developing their own technology, they started winning awards, and big companies like Amazon took notice. Search and subscribe to Witness History wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Georgia Walker, and this is The Dogs of Palermo. In Sicily, the summers are getting hotter, longer, and drier. July of 2023 was officially the hottest month ever on the island, with some areas experiencing more than 10 consecutive days above 40 degrees. Devastating wildfires surrounded Palermo. The summer of 2024 brought a drought that was one of the worst on record, with the island's only natural lake almost drying up. In July, a state of emergency was declared. According to the Italian National Research Council, 70% of Sicily is at risk of desertification. That same month, I drove across the island, from Palermo to Pozzallo, to see two activists and authors, known as the Troglodita Tribe, who have written a book about the cani di quartiere. Fabio and Leila moved to Pozzallo from Milan, and it was here on the island that they first encountered free dogs. They were walking along the beach when they noticed three or four dogs observing them from the dunes above. They were worried at first.
And right away, being Milanese, we immediately started to think, there are dogs on their own. We started to worry, right? Whose could they be? Is there someone looking for them?
But after observing them with curiosity, they came to understand these dogs.
And they were truly happy. They were truly autonomous. They were truly dogs.
In their book, È il cane incontro il quartiere, dal sud una nuova idea di convivenza, or in English, And the dog meets the neighborhood, a new idea of coexistence from the south. Fabio and Leila explain that the notion of dogs as pets or private property is relatively recent. It's an idea very much situated in the West, and a result of the proliferation of diseases like rabies, the view of strays as nuisances to be controlled, and the forces of consumerism and capital. They also write that only 20% of the world's dogs live in the way we think of as the norm in the West, under strict human control, and with a heavy consumerist influence. The cani di quartiere and other forms of semi-wild or stray or free dog represent how dogs have lived with humans for centuries in a relationship of respect and freedom. I asked Fabio and Leila what it was about the neighborhood dogs that caught their attention.
È vera questa cosa dello sguardo, vero? Sì. Che noi li cercavamo.
That thing about the gaze is true, right? We were looking for them. We wanted to watch them, to observe them. But it had never happened to us before with an animal to be observed. We looked at them with joy, not with the idea of entering into their lives, but they did the same thing. From the dunes up high, they watched us. It was an equal exchange. I had never experienced this with an animal before. Animals, especially wild animals, they normally run away. These dogs protected themselves, but they were also curious. Who are these people? What are they doing? And it was a surprise.
It was this feeling of being observed, this mutual gaze, that thrilled Leila and Fabio. We've always observed animals, and this observation and categorization has always been unequal. Fabio explains that this is one of the ways humans oppress other animals, and this practice has served as a tool of domination and control over land, people, and other species.
Ed è parte proprio strutturale dell'oppressione degli animali.
And this is a structural aspect of the oppression of animals. This one-way observation, which has always been one way, and we humans have never considered this, that for freedom and mutual respect, it must be a two-way street. We must feel observed, because feeling observed changes the point of view. And there is a mutual exchange, there is a real and free relationship.
Later in the year, I went to Puglia, in the heel of Italy, to meet Michela Minuno, an educator and researcher who has worked in dog welfare for more than 20 years. He works with dogs that live with people, dogs that live in shelters, and dogs that live free on the territory. As Michela sees it, once we turn dogs into pets, we compromise their natural ability to communicate and self-regulate, and this has led to an imbalance for many domesticated dogs. Michela took me to see some packs of free dogs living on the periphery of a small village. We observed them, and they observed us.
I see, oh, it's beautiful to stay with the dogs, just sharing time, doing nothing, respecting each other.
This way of being together with dogs and other species, with respect and freedom and curiosity, is the center of Michela's philosophy about our relationship with dogs.
In a human family, when we take a puppy, we behave with the dog like a puppy for 13 years. And this is disrespectful. When he is puppy, he has to be approached in a way. When he became mature, he needs to understand how he can cope without the information that arrives from people. Dogs that live with people cannot choose. Dogs that live on territory are much more mature. They are much more balanced.
This is what struck me when I first encountered the cani di quartiere. Their self-confidence, which springs from autonomy and life experience. Being with a neighbourhood dog can teach us how to be with other species, but we have to be able to hear what they're saying.
A lot of people understand it's beautiful to have a walk and a chat with the cani di quartiere and just come back. And they understand how to interact with their own dog after having this experience. If we lose this, we will have just a shadow that is what we think that a dog is. For a long time, stray dogs are always seen like poor dogs, but if we start to look at them like a real dog, how the dog should be, we can learn something about ourselves. And losing dogs, I think we will lose a part of ourselves.
As summer started winding down, Giuseppe noticed that Baloo was limping, and called Georgia to arrange a visit to the vet. Baloo was taken to get an x-ray, and the neighborhood pooled money together to cover the vet bills. Then the news came that Baloo had a tumor that had metastasized and couldn't be treated. He was given painkillers, injections, and cannabis treatments every day while the neighborhood kept watch. By autumn, it became clear that Baloo could no longer stay on the street. He's 40 kilos and at one point lay down in the middle of the busy road, refusing to move. Georgia made the impossible decision to take him home with her and set up a secure area in her garden for him to rest. A group of Baloo's friends decided to go and visit, and they asked if I wanted to come along. With two cars, a truly motley crew of 10 people who would probably not be together if it weren't for Baloo, headed up into the mountains above Palermo. There was Martina, a 23-year-old from the neighborhood who gave Baloo his medicine morning and night. Mario, who's retired, and Barcoga is his go-to hangout. Stefania, who has worked at Barcoga for 20 years and still came despite being in crutches from a leg injury. And of course, there was Giuseppe, wearing a suede jacket with his hair slicked back. In the car, people reminisced about the four dogs who had grown up at Barcoga, the Villaggini. Baloo limped out of his kennel to greet us all when we arrived, recognizing everyone's voices. He was hand-fed and fussed over, Mario weatherproofing his hut with big sheets of plastic, and Giuseppe gently talking to his old friend, and then retreating to the corner to smoke a cigarette. After a while, Baloo retired to his bed, and we went home, having witnessed the end of the Villaggini. These dogs brought together not only a group of strangers, but different species, creating a rare form of community and collective care, a new way of living together in the Anthropocene. You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. The Dogs of Palermo was produced by me, Georgia Walker, with Dennis Funk and Jeff Enman. It includes original music by Nicola Mecca. This was a written and air production for the BBC World Service.
This week on Witness History, the smart speaker Alexa is used by hundreds of millions of people around the world. But did you know its voice was created by two students in Poland? After watching old sci-fi movies, Wukasz and Mikhail decided they could create a device which sounded less robotic and more like a human. After spending years developing their own technology, they started winning awards, and big companies like Amazon took notice. Search and subscribe to Witness History wherever you get your podcasts.